This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, Laker head coach Damon Whitten joins the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, for the weekly coaches show. Got questions for Coach Whitten? Tweet them to me at cornerpocket422. Now, here's Bill and Damon on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Bill Crawford. It is not Damon Whitten with us tonight. It's Mike York, the assistant coach of the Lakers, who's joining us tonight. And we're going to be joined in the second half of our show tonight by Will Rydell, the senior defenseman for the Lakers. So we've got an interesting show lined up for you. And Mike's with us right now via the phone. Matt Pocket's here as well. And we should have a great show here tonight. And Mike, we're scheduled to play Northern Michigan this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Those games have been changed from Friday, Saturday to Saturday and Sunday. And as far as you know at this point, are we going to play on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, as far as we know right now, obviously things could always change last minute. That's kind of what happened up in Houghton a couple weekends ago. We get tested every day, and we just hope for the best and prepare to play this weekend.
Now, at this point, do we still have some players who are in full quarantine? Is that one of the reasons we've moved to Saturday, Sunday to give us an extra day in there, or what's going on?
I think part of it is just, you know, we've been off for a while. It gives us one extra day to prepare, and Northern was willing to help us with that. You know, obviously, being off the ice for those 10 days is a long time. And more, I guess, more safety issue with getting guys back, health-wise as far as, you know, not pulling any muscles or anything like that. So it's just, it's a long time to be off, and then, to have that extra day of preparation is the main thing that gave us a switch.
Yeah, we did not play a couple of weekends ago when we were scheduled at Michigan Tech, as you know, and the bus made the trek all the way back home. And then we didn't play this past weekend with Bemidji out in Bemidji, so 2 weeks off in there. How much practice time have these players had, if any, at this point? Are you telling us that we're going to get on the ice maybe Thursday, Friday this week?
No, we've been out practicing. So we started on Monday, yesterday I guess it would have been. So we've been out practicing, and, you know, we're good to go.
So everybody's ready to go? Well, we've lost Mike for just a second here, and he is moving about right now. So as soon as he gets to where he is going to set up for us, we'll have no problem with it. But I think we got him back now. And, Mike, we were just talking about practice, and you tell us you've been going since Monday. Everybody's healthy, and everybody's pretty much ready to go. And you are being tested every day. Are the tests coming back negative for the most part?
I mean, we get tested six times a week per, you know, CDC and Michigan guidelines and stuff like that. So we get six times a week, and usually, hopefully, we get the test.
Yeah, it's so it is working to this point. We are having trouble with Mike right now with his cell phone, but we'll continue to work through this. And, in fact, maybe we should no, you want to keep it here? Okay, we can keep it right here. Mike, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm
all
good.
Right, good. Yeah. Now we can, but you were kind of fading in and out there. We're told too that even though some things are opening up, restaurants have opened up in the state of Michigan, and there is on that list a chance to open up arenas and stadiums as well. But we're told that there will be no fans in the building again this weekend when we play Saturday and Sunday against Northern Michigan.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's the case right now. I think, you know, we're kind of leaning on the safer side just to lower our risk of exposure to COVID. So right now, I think that's where we're at with that.
Yeah, it seems like the COVID thing, when it hits these teams, whether it's the Lakers or anybody else in college or pro hockey, what happens is you get quarantined for a while, some guys run through it, and it kind of goes through a cycle, and then everybody's back to where you can play again. All the pro teams have done that. Several college teams have done it already. It's looking like this is the Lakers' time to miss some time, but once you get through this, you're going to be back and good for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, I think we were pretty lucky or fortunate enough early on where, you know, we didn't have any positive tests. And, you know, I think as a team, as staff, and, you know, we probably knew we were going to be able to go the whole year without having something happen to us, and it's, you know, obviously right now we're kind of going through it, but You know, we've had a lot of, procedures put into place so we can get back to play as soon as we can.
Well, it's great. I'm really glad to hear we've been practicing all week and everybody's pretty much ready to go. And the guys who did test positive, we haven't really talked about how many, and we don't need to do that. But is it a small number of people, and is that pretty much cleared up at this point?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too. Is when our guys test positive, we really hadn't had any symptoms. So if we hadn't been tested and hadn't all those procedures put into place, we probably wouldn't have known, and most likely would have spread it worse. So it's a good thing that we're doing the right things by testing the guys and getting guys under quarantine when it needs to be.
Yeah, it's probably really good news, too, that nobody got really sick out of this. We want to make sure our fans understand that none of our players was hospitalized or had breathing issues or got sick for the most part in any way. They really didn't know. They tested positive, but they really didn't know they had anything.
No, exactly. That was, obviously that's why, we hopped on the bus. No one had any symptoms or anything like that. We tested before we left, and then, obviously got the results when we got there, and we were pretty shocked, And obviously the guys that had the positive were pretty shocked as well. Obviously they were disappointed, but our guys have done a tremendous job of, doing the right things, wearing the mask, social distancing and stuff. So it was a little unfortunate, but, it's the way things are right now. It just seems to pop up.
Yeah, and it happened right after we resumed in-person classes too, which could have been where maybe some guys got exposed, but you don't know. And really at this point, we're just doing what we're supposed to do and doing what we're told, and we're going to be ready to go this weekend. Again, they've changed the game times in those games too, Mike, from later in the day to 5 o'clock on Saturday and then 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And, there's games to be made up here, too. We just talked a moment ago about missing a series at Michigan Tech and also at Bemidji. Is there a concern at this point? Like, how do we make these things up? It's kind of a tight schedule pattern here. How do we make up these games?
It's going to be really tight, whether we're playing 3 or 4 games in a week or what it is. I don't have the answer today on that. Obviously, we're working with the coaching staff and the schools that we miss games with. Hopefully we can, but if not, hopefully there's, we'll come up with a good playoff structure, and I'm not sure what that's going to be yet either. It's got, things are kind of still up in the air, but we're going to do our best to make up the games, and if not, we're going to focus on the games that we still have left to play.
Yeah, I guess another question would be at this point, did we have to go into a quarantine situation with the players? Were they unable to go to class for the last couple of weeks? How do they keep up academically?
Yeah, I think most of the guys have a lot of the classes are online, is from what I've kind of gathered through our room. There might be a few guys that might have one or two that's still in person that needs to be in person, but I think for the most part they've been online, so guys can kind of do them remotely from home or from the rink for the most part.
Yeah, so they're keeping up with everything, and our grade point average was outstanding in the fall. This team has done very well in the classroom, and something to be proud of too. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other news that's come out. The Hobie Baker nominees list came out yesterday, and with Lakers had 3 players on that Hobie Baker list. Merrick Mittens, the senior goaltender, Lucas Kybel, who's having a great year, senior defenseman and captain of the Lakers, and Ashton Calder, the local kid who's a junior now. Those 3 Lakers are all on that Hobie watch list at this point. And you look at Northern Michigan coming in this weekend, they had 1 player, Joseph Nardi, their only player. But that's an honor right there, just to be recognized as being one of the better players in college hockey. That list is quite lengthy. There are like 30 players on it, maybe more. But it's still good, 3 players from the Lakers.
Yeah, it is, and it's well-deserved for those guys. They've done a great job, on the ice in games, but they also do a great job in the locker room and leading our team that way. I think, obviously, Lucas and Mitch seniors, been around for 4 years and really bring a great culture to our dressing room. Ashton as well, he does a great job being vocal, and obviously being a local kid, he's always been one of those guys that's always helped guys get situated in town, and they know where everything is, so it's great for those guys.
Yeah, you were a Hobie Baker finalist, I think, 2 years, 98-99, and CCHA Player of the Year in 1999 as well at Michigan State, and I'm one of the guys who can go back and say, yeah, Mike York was a heck of a college hockey player, and so you know what it's like to be nominated for the Hobie Baker Award.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's probably not their main goal, but it's nice to be nominated and be considered on that list. You know, they're like I said, their work doesn't go, you know, they do the right things, you know, on and off the ice, and it's great to be honored that way for sure.
Again, you're listening to the Laker Hockey Show tonight on ESPN 1400. Matt Pockets here, Bill Crawford along with Mike York. Mike filling in for Coach Damon Whitten tonight. And Northern Michigan coming off a sweep of Ferris State at Northern last weekend. They got to be pretty confident here, and they've got a little bit of vengeance on their mind, I would think. Lakers beat them twice at Northern earlier this season. Had to come from behind in a very exciting game on the Saturday night to win it 3-2, but they're going to come in here with blood in their eye. They're going to be looking for some revenge against Lake Superior State Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, they were a little bit of a fragile team when we went there and played them. You know, they were missing some guys. I think they got some guys back now. They seem to be getting healthy, and obviously, you know, it's a big confidence boost when you sweep a weekend. Doesn't matter who you are. It's always nice, and they'll be coming in. So we got the Cabo Cup on the line, so we'll be playing for that, and it'll be a good weekend series for sure.
Yeah, I think the Lakers have a 4-goal lead if you were looking at total goals in that Cabo Cup, but a 2-games-to-none lead. So they'd have to win two here and outscore us by a margin there in order to take the Cabo Cup back. We did win it last year, so, and that's a big deal for the two teams, kind of a rivalry there. I think everybody in college hockey looks at Ferris State being Lake Superior State's rival, and I think for scheduling that may be so, but I think Northern Michigan is probably the big rival for Lake Superior State.
Yeah, I think you know, you can throw Tech in there as well. I think all three schools are pretty big. You know, definitely the three UP schools for sure. You want those bragging rights, and obviously Ferris, long history going back to the CCHA days and stuff. So, yeah, all three of those teams are. You always get up to play those games, and it's a unique in college hockey or college sports where, you know, in the middle of the year you can play for a trophy. So that gets the guys extra excited as well too.
We've gotten off to a pretty good start this year as a team. We've won some certainly more games than we've lost. We're 6-3-3 right now going into this series this weekend. Although we haven't played in a couple weeks. And you always wonder what that's going to do. What sort of things do you as a staff work on at this point? What are you and Zach and Damon talking about that we need to be concerned with here this week?
Well, I think, you know, the last couple, you know, yesterday and today, I think it's about more the guys getting their legs back underneath them, get some touches, you know, with a little bit of a layoff with the quarantine. So that's kind of what we've been focused on today. And, you know, we'll get into a little bit of Northern prep and how they play. We're pretty familiar with them and stuff. They're not a big team up front, but they're quick and small. And, you know, we got to eliminate some time and space. So, and then again, we're in February too. So it's not a whole lot of structure. It's not a whole lot of forechecks or stuff like that. Guys know what they're doing at this point, so it's pretty short and sweet for the most part on the ice.
Yeah, it's always interesting when we play the Wildcats too. They play on that big Olympic ice sheet. The surface is bigger. It's wider over there at Northern. I think we had a little bit of concern about that going there, and yet we win two games there. Now they're coming here. They got to play in a tighter ice surface, and they're coming off playing on the big sheet last weekend. I would think maybe that might help us a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they go back and forth. They swap, you know, when they're on the road to playing on a smaller sheet and then back home on a bigger sheet. So they're switching quite a bit back and forth. Whereas, you know, we're constantly, you know, always playing on our sheet and all but two games are on the smaller sheet. So that's definitely going to be helpful for us.
You know, when you played, Mike, you were really a good player at Michigan State. You went on to play pro. I know you don't like to talk about yourself all that much, but you played a lot of pro hockey. I think you had 17 years in the pro game, counting your years in Europe. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff you learn there. There's a lot of things you pick up from players at the pro level. What sorts of things as a coach now do you try to pass on to the players at this Division I level?
I think, you know, a little bit of everything. You know, I think as a coach, you're still learning too. You know, you're trying to, you know, see, you know, what you're thinking in your head, trying to relay it to the guys sometimes is a little bit challenging. So I'm still learning as far as a, you know, coaching standpoint. But I think just the experiences and stories that I have to tell the guys and situations that I've kind of been through as a player, I think that kind of helps our players out as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I would think, Mike, you'd be pretty good at helping with face-offs and positioning and that sort of thing, too.
Yeah. You know, I think our volunteer coach, Mike Guggen, has also, you know, been a huge part of helping our centers this year with faceoffs. He's done a lot of clips and done a lot of good stuff with our centers. And, you know, some games we do really well. Some games were a little bit off, obviously, you know. Bemidji's a really good faceoff team. We struggle a little bit there, but I think overall we've done well in that area. And, you know, and a lot of that too isn't always on our centers. It's our D and our wingers being on their toes and helping out too. So, yeah, definitely a little bit of that. And, you know, just some of the, like I said, some of the experiences that I've gone through as a player that, you know, I just relate to the guys, you know, yeah. Some of that stuff.
Yeah. And you were pretty well known as a defensive forward too. You were really good. You were on the penalty kill in Edmonton, and you were a really good defensive forward in college hockey. So I would think you might stress some of that too, when you're talking to guys, hey, you got to be able to back check, boys. You got to play in our end too.
Yeah. You know, for sure. You know, and that's something I probably learned in school from you know, my coach Ron Mason. You know, when I got to school, I wasn't a great defensive player, and you know, he basically, you know, pretty late, you know, laid it out there. You know, you gotta be able to play both ends of the ice. You're not going to make that jump, and you know, a lot of the guys, you know, are going to be, you know, third or fourth liners going, you know, as starting, you know, in the pro game. You know, we don't have any first overall picks on our team that might stop, you know, starting the top six. A lot of the guys are going to have to work their way up when they make that jump. And you know, it's the difference of being a good defensive player or not that could, you know, help you make that jump.
All righty. We're talking with Mike York, the Lakers assistant tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. Will Rydell is going to join us in the second half of the show. We're going to take our first break tonight, though. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Fremont Insurance has proudly served Michigan since 1876. For more than 140 years, Fremont Insurance has helped protect what Michigan residents care about most. Since 1999, Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont have been partners, rooted in the promise to provide the best possible service and value to customers, be it your home, auto, or business. Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont Insurance, there to protect what matters most. Don Wilson Insurance, 110 Dawson, in the Sioux, call 635-5600.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
When it comes to you and your family's health, you want the best care possible. Arfstrom Pharmacy, your locally owned HealthMart pharmacy, is here to help. The caring and knowledgeable staff takes the time to get to know their customers, understand their needs, and help them on a path to better health. From prescription drugs to medical equipment and supplies, they are able to meet your needs. Arfstrom Pharmacy offers a prescription savings club plan. Save on over 300 prescription medications, some as little as $4 for a 30-day supply or $10 for a 90-day supply. Club members will also enjoy big savings on other generic brand drugs, too. With so many drugs covered by this plan, you could be paying a lot less for your prescription medications in the months ahead. Also, free delivery of prescription drugs within the city limits and a prescription drug pickup service at the War Memorial Community Care Clinic, Kinchlow. Call us for details at 632-9661. Arfstrom Pharmacy and Arfstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies. A lifetime of service in the Eastern UP at the corner of Ashman and Spruce Street in the heart of downtown Sioux, Michigan. Health Mart. Caring for you and about you. MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307, serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
When you're looking to score a great pizza, make your play with your favorite hometown team at Guido's. Well known for their pizza, someone once said,
"You can't live on just pizza."
Something they may not agree with at Guido's. You'll also love their pasta, salads, breads, and of course, their Guidotizers. Make a power play and order online at guidospizzasue.com. And while you're there, look for their college student special coupon and save 15% on one regularly priced menu item. Guido's Pizza, 2673 Ashman. Call 906-635-0066.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Witten.
All righty, we got Bill Crawford and Mike York tonight. Mike's with us the first 40 minutes of this show tonight, and then Will Rydell, the Lakers senior defenseman, is going to join us. And, you know, interesting stuff last night, NHL. I sit down. I love NBC Sports Network. We're going to lose that at the end of this year, too. But, Mike, I was watching the game last night. Pittsburgh was playing against the New York Rangers, and there's Kevin Churchman, ex-Laker, been called up by Pittsburgh, playing on defense for the Penguins. And Buddy Robinson got the call up to Calgary. Now, you know, these are veteran AHL players who are getting called up, so they're filling in because somebody's hurt, obviously. But what a thrill that's got to be for guys to get called up to the NHL and play with the big guys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's their goal, is to be there for sure, you know, to play in the NHL. And I think you're probably going to see a lot of that this year, you know, with COVID protocol around the league and a condensed schedule. You know, they're playing pretty much every other day with injuries and all that stuff. So I think, you know, a lot of guys are going to get opportunities this year, which is great to see.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's always exciting. You watch a kid who played for the Lakers a few years ago. It's like the young guy playing on defense there for the Rangers last night, too, who played against the Lakers 2 years ago when he was with the USA under-18s. And I'm like, wow, this is something else. Look at how good this guy has become. And they grow up in a hurry from that program. Let's talk a little bit about recruiting with you. This is the one thing I get a lot of questions on. Fans send in stuff about recruiting all the time, want to know who's coming to play for the Lakers in the future. And, you know, here we are. We're going to lose seven really good hockey players, maybe eight if Pete Violette decides he's going to leave at the end of the year. He can get a degree, and that'll be up to him. But we're going to lose Lucas Kybel and Will Rydell, who's going to join us on this show tonight. Demarix Mittens, who's not only a Hobey Baker candidate at this point on the nominee list, but he's also on that Richter watch list for best goaltender in college hockey. So a good season for Demarix Mittens and getting some great recognition. And we're going to lose Chase Gamblin, and Hampus Erickson, and Ambrosio is going to be leaving us, Alex, and Yuki Miura. And that's a lot going out the door right there, and that's a big concern for you guys. And I know you got a lot of people already in place to come in, but freshmen aren't seniors, and this could be a test.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously, Merrick has been great for us in that, but we're confident in what we've seen so far in Seth and Ethan. They've done a great job of, you know, working hard in practice and making most of their opportunities in the games that they've got in. Obviously, with what's going on this year in the short season, you know, we probably would like to see them get a little bit more experience, but this hasn't been possible right now. You know, the rest of the seniors have obviously, I kind of came in with those guys, you know, my first year was their freshman year. So it's been nice to see their growth and kind of what they, you know, the stamp that they put on this program has been great. You know, they've been, you know, their freshman year wasn't a great year, but their sophomore year really rebounded and we're off to a great, you know, their senior year has been off to a great start as well. So we're definitely going to be missing some pieces, but I think they've done a great job of, you know, being leaders and showing the underclassmen or the younger guys what it takes to be successful.
Yeah, it's really difficult too. You know, just maybe a comment on the play of a guy like a Lucas Kybel or a Will Rydell. Will's going to be on with us here tonight. And how they've matured as players and matured as people since coming to Lake Superior State.
They've just done a tremendous job. You know, I think, you know, looking back now, I think Luke... Sorry, still there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. You know, Lucas got sick his first year, you know, had mono, I think it was, and missed some time. But
right.
He rebounded and came back great. You know, he's just been a beast in the back end for us, and he's played in all situations, I think, pretty much since his freshman year. Will's made great strides as well. You know, I think he maybe missed one or two games his entire career. So, and you know, started last year, was on a power play, and he's done well. It's a great shot. You know, he's physically, you know, really, really strong. So, you know, guys that we really rely on the back end, and obviously they'll be big pieces to replace moving next, you know, moving forward.
Well, it's the same thing with the other guys too. You look at the local kid Chase Gamblin, and then Hampus, and Alex Ambrosio, and Yuki. I mean, these are guys who've made huge strides to become good college hockey players. All of them, and they're really very good citizens, too. They're good students. They're good guys off the ice and do a great job representing Lake Superior State.
Yeah, you know, those guys, you know, Ambro and Chase, you know, I think early on in their careers, they were, you know, a little bit in and out of the lineup. And I think, you know, this year, the way they played and been around in the dressing room stuff, there's been no question that, you know, they're going to be in the lineup and been in everyday players. They really stuck with it and put the work in and been great pieces to our team.
Yeah, you get, you know, they're a good example, and I suppose they should be probably talking to some of the young guys who are there now. You look at Spencer Denbesty, I think he's played in one game, and Benny Posa hasn't played too much, and it's been a tough couple of years for Mike Manera, but they can look to these guys who they didn't play all the time their first couple of years either.
Right, yeah, and it's to those guys' credit. You know, they, you know, we haven't been in a situation where we felt like we needed to take those guys out or really anybody out. Everyone's been playing really well, and you know, our message is, you know, if you get an opportunity, you want to stick with, you know, take your opportunity and run with it. And don't let anybody take your job. And those guys have done a great job. And you know, same thing with Yuki too. You know, Yuki, you know, his first year, I think he broke his leg, and second year kind of in and out, and now he's our killer. You know, he's, you know, you can see his confidence has just grown over this 4 years.
Yeah, he's not a big guy, but he plays big, and he's very quick, and he's had a good 4 years here at Lake Superior State, give or take some injuries. We've got some really interesting kids coming in the future, and of course we're always looking for speed and stick skills and all that sort of thing. You got a couple of guys out of the USHL who are coming in. Let's talk about some of these young guys who are going to join the Lakers next fall. Start with a kid like Cole Kraft. He comes pretty highly recommended by a lot of people.
I'm sorry, who was that? I missed you there, Bill.
Cole Kraft. Who are you talking about?
Cole Kraft, yeah. Yeah, you know, last year he was in the CCHL, and, you know, we got him on a visit. I think it was a Zoom visit at the time, and he committed to us. He's in Lincoln, the USHL now. You know, he's a big body, good winger, you know, strong skater, and we're really excited with what he brings to the table.
Yeah, he looks like he could be a real good one. You got Grant Hinman, a pretty good defenseman, coming in too, another guy out of the USHL, and going to help us right away.
Yeah, Grant, you know, we kind of compare Grant to Colin Salkelman, you know, just kind of a warrior, old school kind of defenseman. You know, when he's playing in a game, you can hear him all over the ice. He's yelling. He's constantly communicating. You know, he's he'll block shots, and you know, he's also put up some points as of late. You know, he's probably more of a defensive defenseman, but has the capability of definitely putting up some points.
Yeah, there's a young guy who's come to join us too, another Swedish player. We've got four on the team now, and we're going to lose Hampus, so we're going to fill in. We're going to put Sebastian Medema in the lineup, and I know he's already here. He's going to school full-time. He couldn't get a place to play, couldn't get the visa straightened out, et cetera, in time to get over here and play in North America, and now with all the COVID issues, he's decided to heck with it. I'm going to practice with the Lakers this semester, and I'm going to start my clock, and I know you've worked with him a little bit. How's Sebastian going to fit in?
You know, it's a really unique situation. Just kind of like you said, you know, he couldn't get the visa, you know, to go, come over and play in the USHL. Or we tried and worked on it, but just couldn't do it. And then, you know, we just figured why not bring him in, especially, you know, with the cult, you know, the culture we have right now, being around the seniors and stuff like that. We thought it'd be really good for him. And his first week of practice was kind of last week. So he basically had a one-on-one session with me. And then I forgot to introduce him yesterday, or we forgot to introduce him yesterday, and he was introduced to the team about two drills in and on the ice. So it's been a little bit of a rocky, weird start for him, but I think he's definitely going to be a guy that's going to help us for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, there's some other guys there. You got a kid coming in named Brett Rollison who's got great bloodlines. His dad was a heck of a goaltender for UMass Lowell. I remember him very well from back in our 1994 national championship year. He was a strong Hobey Baker candidate that year. And, hey, this kid's not a goaltender. He's a forward, but he can play.
Yeah, he's a centerman, or he's been playing center the last couple of years here, junior. And, you know, again, he's, you know, a little bit of a, you know, weird path of he started out in the BC League this year, and they weren't going. So he moved down to the North American League and was probably I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks of him playing games now, but we're excited. He's a smart player. He's a good high-end hockey IQ, and he can skate good as well.
Yeah, we've got some other kids coming in too. Josh Nixon, who's coming out of Maryland to us. Dawson Tritt. I'm not sure where Dawson's playing right now. I think he's another of the young guys who was playing in BC League, and because they're not playing, he came south. Jordan Venegoni. I don't really know anything about him. Why don't you tell us about those three, Nixon, Tritt, and Venegoni?
Nixon's a Toronto kid. Right now he's playing in Maryland in the North American Hockey League, and he's kind of a gritty player. When you talk to him, he's got a little bit of a old school attitude, just loves the game, just wants to be out playing the game. Dawson Tritt was he's an American kid from Seattle, but was playing in the BC League. He moved down and he's playing down in Lone Star right now. Same thing. He's probably only been down there a couple weeks, but he's got some good speed, good grit to his game. So we're excited to have him. Yeah, and Jordan Venegoni's in Amarillo right now. He's a Michigan kid. Same thing. He's not huge. He's about 5'10", 5'11", can skate really well. So we're excited to add those guys and see what they, are going to bring to the program.
Yeah, it's interesting how we're kind of lining things up here. We could have Logan Genuine back, too. I understand Logan's still in school, and I guess that's kind of up to him and your coaching staff whether he plays next year. But that's a possibility as well. And a young guy, a defenseman named Brian Huggins, who I think is coming in next fall, too.
Yeah, Brian's been he was in the USHL a little bit last year. He's had some bad luck as far as injuries the last couple of years, but I think he's finally he's in another kid that's in the North American League right now in Maryland. Great seat, plays the game hard. He's got some offensive capabilities as well.
How's the recruiting? We talked a little bit about this earlier, and Damon and I have discussed it a few times too. It's so difficult to recruit right now because of the COVID situation. You can't leave campus. No coaches of any team are going out and seeing players play. And so I guess you're probably saving a lot of money in the recruiting budget, but it's not easy to do it. You're watching video. You're looking at film of guys. Do players send you video, or do you request things of them? Or how do you go about finding who might be somebody who would fit into the Laker way of playing hockey?
I think it's a lot of it's from talking to the coaches or family advisors and stuff like that, for sure. It's definitely tougher, just watching it on video. You can't be out, at a game and, actually go, meet the player face to face after the game and talk to him. So it's more phone calls and Zooms and stuff like that. So it's definitely tougher trying to, gauge, someone's body language over the phone or whatever it is when you're talking to them. It's definitely a challenge for sure.
Yeah, it's our understanding you can still have a player visit your campus. He can come in and see the facilities and meet the players and that sort of thing. Is that true?
No, only through like a Zoom.
A Zoom. Okay, no. So if you were going to have a visit, it's going to be a Zoom visit.
Yes. Correct. It's a little awkward. We've had a couple of them, but that's the best we can do right now.
Yeah, and I guess everybody's living by that. I guess as long as everybody has to do it that way, it's probably all right.
Yeah, but it's tough. You don't get to when they're here, you don't get to kind of show them the community and things around town. It's a little challenging that way. They don't get really what the campus is like. I guess it's more of the hockey side of things, the facility, the rink, the weight room, the locker room, the blue line room, stuff like that. So, it's usually done over maybe an hour or two, as opposed to, usually kids are, when they come onto campus, they're here for about 24 hours. So it's definitely shorter and definitely less personable as well.
Oh, yeah, and over the years, I know from helping with recruiting over the years, too, it really does help to have them come in here and you have them go out to lunch with somebody who's a part of the program who can talk positively about the coaching staff and that sort of thing. And all that helps, and you don't have any of that anymore. Now these kids are making decisions based on maybe a Zoom call or two, and I don't know how much of a chance you get to have the players on the team now be involved in that so that they could talk to these players, but it's making things much more difficult, no doubt about that. What do you have identified at this point as something you might still be working on for next year? I would think you want a third goaltender, so maybe another goalie to bring in, and I'm looking maybe another forward as well.
Yeah, that's possibly for sure. We're always keeping our eyes open and ear to the ground, just to see what's out there. Probably definitely a third goalie for sure. Obviously with the departure of Merritt and not having one committed that position, that's probably right now I'd say probably our top priority.
Yeah, and the international look of this team too. We've become the most international team in college hockey with the four Swedes on the team and a player out of Japan, Belarus, Latvia, Slovakia, Germany, and France. I don't think anybody can match that. How has that fit into the recruiting end of things? Is it just kind of happened that way that you see a Louis Bidon and decide you're going to bring him in, even though he's from Grenoble, France? And how do we do this? We're not intentionally, are we, going out and recruiting internationals? They just happen to be the players we have an eye on.
No, I mean, yeah, and I think some of the ones that have come on visits too, I think what they, you know, what this is coming from the players, what they said, you know, it reminds the Sioux area kind of reminds them of back home, you know, a little smaller community and just has, you know, has that European feel, I guess is what they said.
Winter.
yeah, there you go, winter.
Although this winter's been a piece of cake for us up here in the North Country, so I would imagine this is a little more like maybe southern Sweden or some part of mainstream Europe. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. Mike, we really appreciate you joining us here tonight, and it's always good to talk to the assistants. Maybe we can get Zach on here one of these weeks as well. But thanks for taking the time, sir, and thanks for talking about Laker hockey with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Mike York joining us here.
Weekend.
And, yeah, we'll be there, both games, Saturday, Sunday. Don't forget that, fans, Saturday at 5. Sunday at 3 p.m. Those are the game times, and we'll have them for you on Yes FM. And we'll take a break. Matt and I will be right back, and Will Rydell is going to join us in the second half of the show, the Laker defenseman, and we'll return after this on ESPN 1400.
Picture this. It's Monday afternoon and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee $7.99 plus tax, of course. Now, picture this. It's Friday and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee more than you paid Monday. You feel bamboozled. But then you hear this. Domino's extended its $7.99 large three-topping carryout deal to all day, every day. And so you danced and ate Domino's. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
What are the two things most teens should have besides a cell phone? A teen savings account and a teen checking account at Central Savings Bank. Your teen can learn how to save and budget their own money with one or both of these accounts. These accounts come with an ATM debit card with mobile wallet capabilities and access to things like internet banking and mobile banking, all with no monthly service charges. If you have a child 12 years of age or younger, they have accounts for them as well. Stop in any of their 9 locations and ask about the CSB Savers Youth Savings Club accounts. Member FDIC. I see.
What's that? It's the noise Liam's piggy bank makes when he puts money in it. He has a CSB Savers Youth Savings Club account at Central Savings Bank.
Oh, yeah? I don't have any accounts for either of my boys.
Well, with this type of savings account, Liam gets prizes for deposits, entries for quarterly drawings, and much more. Plus, there are no monthly service charges.
Member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank. What we can do for you.
Boss has your back when the weather turns white in light of day and dark of night. When winter shuts down work and schools, come with resolve and powerful tools. Endure through every push, salt, and stack until your streets are back to black.
Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, your boss dealer, just off exit 373, Rudyard, Michigan.
I support our community, so I shop locally and work with other area businesses whenever I can. My credit union does too, so I became a member there. My credit union offers online bill pay, mobile banking, and e-statements. I get first name friendly service along with faster, smarter banking. That's an unbeatable combination.
Sioux Co-op Credit Union, your credit union, federally insured by NCUA. Visit us online at SiouxCoop.com.
Is your furnace old? You could be dealing with a low-efficiency furnace costing you hundreds of dollars a year. The experts at Albert Heating and Cooling can help you with a new high-efficiency Bryant furnace. On sale now till the end of February. With your new furnace, you can buy an extended 10-year labor warranty for only $99. Start saving today with a new furnace and sleep soundly knowing you have no worries. Go online at albertheating.com or stop in at 3147 South M129, just south of 3 Mile Road today. Bryant.
whatever it takes. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Tweet your questions for Laker head coach Damon Whitten to me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford.
All righty, we're back for the final segment of our show tonight. It's a Tuesday night, a sunny day, great weather in Sault Ste. Marie this winter. It's been unbelievable. And probably a great winter for a guy who's out of Greensboro, North Carolina to put in because he's seen worse. But this has been pretty good, and we've got Will Rydell joining us now. Will's the defenseman, senior for the Lakers, leadership man, wears an A on that jersey. He's been a good player here, and he's grown up in this place. And Will, have you missed more than two games in your career at Lake Superior State?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, that's pretty darn good. That's a very physical game, and you play a physical game, and you must play hurt quite a bit.
Yeah, but here and there, I try not to. I see the trainer often, so that helps, and he keeps me going. So,
now we played 12 games so far this season. You have 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points. That ties you with Yuki Miura for I think third on this team. I think Calder and maybe fourth, because Calder and Keibel are up there at 12 and 9, and then Violette's got 8 points, and you guys are right there, right behind him. And I know you don't look at that sort of thing, but hey, it's a good senior season. You've been doing a great job so far, and we need that kind of leadership. And we've got Northern Michigan coming in this weekend. The game times have been changed to Saturday at 5 and Sunday at 3. But Wildcats, we had some luck against them on the big ice at their place earlier this season. We're hoping to continue that in the battle for the Coppell Cup this weekend. What do you think about this one? They're coming off 2 big wins over Ferris State. They should be confident, but we got to play well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing is our starts. That's one thing we've been looking at all year is getting off to a good start and trying to get that first goal. And that's going to be key for us. And then, you know, from there, they're a good hockey team. I mean, we got to treat everybody like, you know, they're the best. And that's going to be big for us to come in and, you know, like I said, start on time.
So yeah, and you got that big Coppell Cup on the line, too. That thing's got to be the biggest trophy in college hockey. But one way or the other, we won it last year. We'd like to hang on to it this year. Your junior and senior years have been a real test. I know you probably sit around with Lucas and with Merricks and some of the other seniors, Alex and Chase, et cetera, and talk about that. But it ended last year. I think we were, us and Bemidji, the last two teams to play Division I college hockey. They ended it right after that Game 3. And that would have been the end of our season anyway. But we start off this year. We've had one COVID thing after another. It's either the opposition that's got it, and then it hits us, and we've got it, and we miss a couple of weeks. What a tough test for the players.
It really is. It's really hard to kind of express how difficult it is. I mean, there's just kind of so many uncertainties day by day. And, you know, when we're out there, we just kind of really happy just to be out there and, you know, practicing and obviously want to play games and stuff like that. But, you know, we see other teams around, you know, around the nation, you know, battling with it. And I know teams in the NHL, for example, are battling as well. So, you know, we're just happy to get out there and be able to practice. And then obviously when we can play, it's been, you know, it's been great to be able to play. And we didn't battle with it in the beginning too much, but, you know, we're kind of dealing with it a little bit now. And, you know, we kind of knew we'd have to face it at some point. So I guess hopefully being able to get out of the way now and, you know, kind of finish out the rest of the season strong.
Yeah, we talked with Mike York earlier. He joined us in the first half of the show today about that. And we asked him about how many guys are actually sick here. Has anybody gotten to the point where they've had to be hospitalized or quarantined completely for 14 days? And he said, no, it's positive tests. We don't even know we're sick because nobody has any symptoms.
Yeah, you know, some guys have been losing, you know, taste and smell and stuff like that. But luckily what's kind of, you know, going around us has been mild for the most part. And, you know, that's been good, you know, and you hear so many stories about different, you know, different symptoms and stuff like that people have. So we've been fortunate enough to kind of stay away from the more severe ones. And, you know, like I said, just kind of little things. So that's good for us.
Now, you guys live, for the most part, especially upperclassmen like yourself, you don't live on campus, so you've got apartments, et cetera. A lot of guys at West Pier Place, that sort of thing, and houses around town. How do you police yourselves, because you've done a really good job. I mean, we haven't had problems for the most part with COVID-19. How do you take care of it to make sure that there aren't big gatherings and you're not letting outsiders in? It's got to be difficult, because part of going to college is the social aspect of it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we have other friends around, you know, campus and stuff like that too. And, you know, we, like I said, we just got to be smart with it. And, you know, it'd be really hard on kind of wearing masks around town and stuff like that. And when we're out in the classroom and, you know, just being cautious about, you know, who we let in our places and, you know, who we hang around with and stuff like that. I mean, we try to, you know, when we hang out, just try to keep it with the guys and stuff like that. And, you know, we've been really good with it. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that kind of snuck in a little bit here the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, like I said, we knew we were going to have to face it at some point. So it's kind of inevitable.
Well, we did go back to going to the classroom a little bit a week ago Monday, and that probably didn't help anything. And how many times, like, for instance, with yourself, do you take some classes online? All the classes were online in the fall semester, but are you still doing that a little bit now, or are you going face-to-face into class?
Yeah, there's some guys on the team that have been face-to-face. For me personally, I'm all online this semester. A lot of the business students have classes online. That's just kind of – I think it's kind of teacher preference. So, you know, for me, like I said, I'm all online. So I'm just kind of doing work from the apartment and heading to the rink. So it's not too bad of a setup.
Yeah, so far this season, you've played a lot of hockey with Mitch Oliver as a partner when he came back in the lineup. You've also played with Arvid Henriksen quite a bit. And in fact, let's face it, all our defensemen kind of go out there at various times with just about anybody. You play with Nordqvist a little bit. I don't think you would get matched up too much with Kybel. You're both lefties. But does it matter to you who you're playing with out there?
No, not particularly. I mean, I think everybody can play. And you know, like I said, I'm just, you know, I go out there with who I'm told to go out there with, and, you know, I feel like don't like not playing with anybody, put it that way, so, you know, I'll play with whoever.
Yeah, and you like to jump up in the play from time to time, too. We've seen you move up that left wing. I mean, you've been doing that your whole 4 years here, sneaking up there once in a while, looking for a chance to get a chance at the goal, and you've scored some pretty nice goals that way, too. That's obviously a part of your plan. How do you gauge when you should go and when you should stay back and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's just being smart with the jumps, you know, when we have full possession and stuff like that, and just, you know, trying to give those forwards another outlook and another pass to make, you know, and jumping up in the play. So whenever I kind of see an opportunity and, you know, I feel like I'm good enough skater to kind of get up the ice and try to create a little bit more opportunity and outnumber the opposition there, and, you know, obviously try to get a shot on that or, you know, make a play. So just kind of work to be another outlet and really attack on the rush.
This team, we talked with Mike about this in the first half of the show tonight too, very international with the makeup of it, with all the different guys we've got. You got players out of, we got four Swedes on the team right now. We're going to have another one next year after you guys are gone. But we've got kids out of Japan and Belarus and Latvia and Slovakia and Germany and France. This is a great makeup, and what an opportunity. I think I would really like this because it would give you an opportunity to talk to people from different cultures and different ways of life. And probably this is a very close-knit crew.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's been great. Like, all the guys get along great. And, you know, I got to give it to the European guys. They don't struggle with English really too much at all. So, you know, communication for us isn't really a huge deal. And, you know, we all get along great. And it's always interesting to hear, you know, their perspective and stuff like, you know, where we live. And, you know, and then obviously hear their perspective of, you know, what's over in Europe and stuff like that for guys that haven't gotten the chance to go over there. So it's pretty cool to see you play with guys from kind of all over. And, you know, you hopefully come good enough, find those them, and maybe get over there after the season's over and get some of those experiences. So,
yeah, I would think for a guy like yourself, you would think, well, hey, if I had to go play pro hockey in Europe and make money for a couple of years, I wouldn't hesitate.
Yeah, it doesn't seem all bad at all.
Now, you come out of Greensboro, North Carolina. Tell us a little bit for our listeners how you came to come out of Carolina and wind up playing Division I college hockey. That's probably not the easiest road in the world. Where'd you play, like, in your formative years and wind up in New Jersey playing Junior A?
Yeah, kind of a crazy story. I mean, I kind of just grew up playing double-A hockey in Greensboro, and I played 1 year of band triple-A. And then from there, I just played 2 years of U16, and then after that, I got the opportunity to go to prep school in Vermont, and I was living in Vermont for 2 years, and that really kind of sparked me and hockey, and really where I kind of made the transition to take it real serious. So, you know, once I was at Vermont, and I ended up making the transition to junior, and from junior into Lake Superior State. So I spent some time up north, but it was definitely a longer path than some other guys.
Yeah, it's not the easiest place to be either. Lake Superior State's a very small school, limited enrollment. It's a small community, and yet it's pretty friendly, and you can get along pretty well with people. And one thing, you certainly know where everything is when you're here. But what's it been like for you? This is your fourth year now. You must be pretty much used to Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first year, you know, you kind of taken back by everything and how small it is, just being from a bigger town and now a bigger city. And, you know, but you kind of get used to it, and, you know, you come to enjoy it. And I know, you know, with this COVID thing, as bad as it's been, it's also given me the opportunity to really take in some of the UP and other areas and really, you know, get outside and experience, I guess, the UP and Sault Ste. Marie and, you know, for what it really is. And I think a lot of people would say it's a big place where you spend a lot of time outdoors. So, you know, I got that experience this year more than years past, and it's been really cool. I've enjoyed, you know, being up here, and it's like I said, it's been great. I wouldn't change a thing.
Will, you're wearing an A this year. That makes you a leadership player on this team, and you know, I think last year as well. But you know, that's a big deal at this point. What kind of leadership person do you view yourself as? And you know, I've known a lot of guys over the years who do different things to get ready for a game. How does Will Rydell prepare for a hockey game? Like, how are you going to get ready on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm a big get to the rink early guy. So, you know, for a 7 o'clock game, I usually get to the rink around 4 o'clock. So, you know, I'm a big get there early and kind of mental preparation and stuff like that. And then, you know, I just try to keep it loose, you know, not too loose, but I try to have some laughs and, you know, keep the energy up. And, you know, and at the end of the day, the way I play, I kind of just try to lead by the way I play and, you know, be positive out there and, you know, help guys where I can. And, you know, just my effort and intensity is kind of how I try to lead.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of video involved with coaching with this team. How much of an emphasis do you personally put on knowing what the other team does? Do you focus on the other team quite a bit before you play them?
Yeah, I do. I like video, and I like watching back my games, and I like watching you know, pre-scout and stuff like that. And it definitely helps, you know, coming from, you know, junior where you don't do a whole lot of it to college where you do a lot of it is you know, I think a little bit of a game changer for me, and I've really enjoyed that aspect of the game. So it's been great to have that.
Yeah, it's always interesting to ask players about things like that. What about this team on the makeup end of things right now? You just said a few moments ago you like to maybe get in a little bit of some lighthearted stuff before a game just to relax a bit. Who on this team leads the way in the comedy factor?
Yeah, we have a few guys that like to you know, keep it light. Mike Manera, he's one that likes to keep it light in the locker room, and a couple of the freshmen, like Benito and Poza, he keeps it light as well. And then, you know, as far as upperclassmen, I mean, everybody keeps it pretty light in the locker room, and it's a really good atmosphere in there, and we really get along well. And there's always the laughs to be had before practice and even after practice. So it's a great group this year, and, you know, we really enjoy each other, and it's been great.
Yeah, I know a few years ago, I think, would he leave us 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Steven Ruggiero, he was pretty good on that aspect of things.
Yeah, he was my former roommate, and we still talk almost every day, and he's a funny guy. He's one of those once-in-a-lifetime guys that you meet, so he's great stuff in the locker room.
Yeah, he and Mike Guggen would have gotten along very well.
Yeah, Mike keeps a light too. He's great to have around as well. It's awesome.
Yeah, you take a look at this Northern Michigan team. They got a couple of little guys there who can give defensemen fits. Griffin Loughran in particular, Vincent DeMay. They've got some. I guess some Joseph Nardi's a very good player, and he's hard-nosed. He'll go into the tough areas in front of your net, et cetera. How familiar are we with this team? We've got a 4-1 win over them and a 3-2 win, and that 3-2 win was just a tremendous victory, a third-period comeback.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, that was really it was really great that we were able to do that and come back from that. And, you know, like I said, we didn't get the best start, but it was good that we kind of fought our way out of it, and it was a good teaching point for us. And yeah, like you said, they got some smaller guys that kind of get under people's skin, and we just got to be sure to stay level-headed and you know, make sure, you know, we're not taking too many penalties, which we struggled with the last couple weekends. So that's going to be the key for us.
Yeah, stay out of the penalty box and make the most of power play opportunities. That's something that we've kind of come up a little bit short on, power play this year. We got to be a little bit more efficient there. Now, you've had about maybe 4 days here this week, yesterday, today. You'll get ready on Wednesday and Thursday to play, so it's back to a regular practice week. What sorts of things are we concentrating at this point? I would think maybe just skating and trying to make sure we're ready to play.
Yeah, it's a big thing for us. Just kind of, it's a lot of, there's been a lot of skating this week and getting our puck touches back and, you know, just a little bit of competing here and there and just going over systems again and just kind of refreshing everybody. Like, a lot of guys are off for, you know, 10, 14 days. So it's, it was important for us to kind of really just get up and down the ice and get a lot of touches in and work on rushes and stuff like that. So just kind of simplifying almost this week and really just making sure that we're, you know, ready to go for the weekend.
Yeah, it's very weird right now, too. I asked Mike about this in the first half tonight, how we're going to make up these games. We're missing a series now at Michigan Tech, another one at Bemidji, and we've got a pretty full schedule. You're going to go to Bowling Green next weekend, and I don't see any open areas in there anywhere, and even if there's one, you got to make it meet the other team's schedule as well. This is going to get difficult. We're going to end up with some midweek series, I would think, and maybe playing four games inside 7 days.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Like I said, we haven't heard much on scheduling. I know we want to try to get those guys back. And, you know, yeah, 4 games in 7 days is definitely an option. But I think if you ask anybody in the locker room, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to get those games back. And you know, we just want to, you know, play as many games as we can, obviously, and make sure we don't miss out on any. So, yeah, whatever we have to do, I think we're kind of ready and prepared to do it. So whatever comes next.
Yeah, you guys are just, whatever you want us to do, Coach, let us know when we're going to be there and we'll play.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we haven't had a whole lot of travel this season. I think we drove to Tech for no reason. We went to Northern Michigan. We did not have to go to Bemidji just yet, and next weekend you'll go, one of the longer trips we have these days in the WCHA is Bowling Green State.
Yeah, that's one of the longer trips for us, and it's not a bad trip. It's just kind of right down the highway, but yeah, it's definitely a longer trip, but always a good place to go and play. And I know that they have fans as well, and you know, not long, I don't think, but it'll be good to get down there. And we're just kind of focused on this series right now, but it'll be good to get for us as fans.
Yeah, that's another question too. How far ahead does anybody look? I guess you look to Saturday night right now, and you don't worry about anything else.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we're just, well, like I said, it's going to be for us. It's going to be a big. You know, big task, come back off of COVID and stuff like that for this weekend. So having just being mentally ready to play on Saturday is going to be huge for us. And, you know, we'll worry about Sunday on Michigan on Saturday. So.
All righty. Well, we're talking with Will Riedel, senior defenseman for the Lakers here tonight. He's out of Greensboro, North Carolina. And, Will, the last question I have for you is maybe a little bit thinking about the future, and if you don't look past the next game, I don't know how much you've looked to the future for pro, but I know you'd like to play beyond Lake Superior State. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's my ultimate goal is to try to get an opportunity, hopefully maybe at the end of the year, to go somewhere and play. And, just want to obviously finish strong here and, you know, make it as far as we can go, but obviously the end goal is to jump in the pro at the end of the season. So we'll see what happens, and, you know, hoping for the best. So.
Well, Will, thanks for doing this here tonight. You're the first player we've had on this season. We'll try to do this with several more of the guys before too much longer. And again, we really appreciate your time and good luck against Northern this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All righty, Will Riedel joining us here, and we're going to get on out of here. We're almost out of time. Want to mention that the WCHA still does have some teams in the top 20 in the USCHA poll this week, or USCHO poll. They got Minnesota State in there at number 6 right now, Bowling Green's number 8, and Bemidji, deservedly so, has moved up to number 18, and Michigan Tech and the Lakers are among the honorable mentions on the poll this week. For Matt Pocket, Bill Crawford, also for Will Riedel and Mike York tonight, saying so long from the Laker Hockey Show. It'll be rebroadcast on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. right here. And that's it on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader. Now let's get back to regular programming.